New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Greetings, Bible believers, wherever you are. Thank God for the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our desire on this broadcast to preach Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. And the Apostle Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And a great blessing came down upon Peter because he made that tremendous confession. It's a blessing to help carry out the great commission of Jesus. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world. He never said, go into all the world and preach the doctrine of your choice. He never said, go into all the world and preach what feels good. He never said, go into all the world and preach what people believe. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then the Master said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so in these dangerous days in which we live, it's wonderful to be able to preach the gospel of our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and to preach it without compromise. As we say around the country, heaven high, hell deep, world wide, and shotgun barrel straight. You're tuned in to a salvation broadcast. This is not a ear-tickling broadcast. This is not a broadcast for popularity. It is a book, chapter, and verse salvation broadcast. We're not preaching what sounded good in the 18th century or the 19th century. Or what might sound good in the 20th century, we want to preach what was proclaimed in the first century and what was spoken by the apostles. We want to have no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. We want to speak where the Scripture speaks and be silent where the Scripture is silent. We want to thus saith the Lord for all that we believe and practice. And we want our headquarters to be in heaven where the head is. Jesus is the head of the church. And so our headquarters are in heaven. We want to send greetings to the listeners of New Testament Christianity in various parts of the world. We're thankful now to be broadcasting in Uganda over Bible Voice, reaching a potential above 40 million people as far as the potential listening audience. And so, in addition to preaching across Europe, England, Scotland, Ireland, and Western France, we're preaching into Africa. It covers Kenya and various other areas. And also, we're thankful for the outreach programs in the United States of America. And it's all a part of the program to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Those that want to hear more New Testament Christianity can hear all they want to hear on www.biblevoice.org. Click on English and yours truly, Raymond Bennett, and there's several New Testament true to the Bible sermons that you can listen to and click on to during the day. There are wonderful, wonderful questions that are asked in the Bible. And when Bible questions are asked, we want Bible answers. For instance, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when the Apostle Peter stood up with the 11 and preached the first full gospel sermon, someone said, how do you call and how do you come to describe that in Acts chapter 2 as the first full gospel sermon? I think we agree it takes the death and the burial and the resurrection and the descent of the Holy Spirit to be the ingredients for the full gospel. And Jesus had died and been buried and arose again. The disciples were ready to go, but Jesus said, tarry till you receive power, and then you'll be witnesses. The power came, friends, Bible believers around the world. The power came on Pentecost. And Peter stood up and he preached the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He told them about Jesus. He told them how that he had been raised from the grave, how that he was at the right hand of the Father. And then he accused them of first-degree murder in killing their long-expected Messiah. He said, "You have crucified him and slain him." And they were cut to the heart. We're cut to the heart when we hear the gospel. We need preaching that will cut us to the heart, not pablum preaching that'll make us feel good. Whatever happened to old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preaching once in a while that will challenge people and motivate people, make them realize that they're sinners condemned in the hands of God before they turn their lives over to God. And Peter accused them of killing Christ, and it cut them to the heart. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And when the question was asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" we want to give the Bible answer. And then there's another question asked in the 16th chapter of Acts. When that powerful earthquake rocked the prison where Paul and Silas were, you remember how the jailer brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The exact answer, word for word, syllable by syllable, that was given in the Bible is the answer we want to give today. And then we have the question in Acts chapter 9 when Saul of Tarsus, whom we know as Paul, went through that traumatic experience. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" We want to give Bible answers to these Bible questions. In Acts chapter 2, the people that were pricked in their hearts said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It's interesting that Peter never said what is commonly explained to people today. But what Peter said was inspired of God. It was a powerful question. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" People are asking this question around the world today. When they come under the convicting power of the Word of God, they're asking, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Why is it such a hard task to simply word for word to give them exactly what the Bible says? "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Quoting from the King James, and it's practically the same in every major translation. The answer to this question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer is clearly given. Repent. They were not told to believe. They were not told to have faith because they already believed and they already had faith. It takes more than to believe. It takes more than to have faith. You can't be saved by faith alone. As a matter of fact, the only time faith only is used in the English King James Bible, it says we're not justified by faith only. By works a man is justified, James says, and not by faith alone. And so faith and works go together. There's absolutely no way that faith can be demonstrated in any manner whatsoever without works. Works and faith go together. And so the question was asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Well, if they weren't told to believe, if they weren't told to pray the sinner's prayer, if they weren't told to get down to the altar, if they weren't told to raise their hand and receive Jesus, what were they told to do? They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When I stand before God on the judgment day, I don't want Him to say, "Why didn't you give the answer to those questions that were so clear? Why didn't you give the answer to the question, the Bible answer, when people asked you, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" None of these conversions in Acts, none of them were challenged to pray the sinner's prayer. None of them were told to simply raise their hand and receive Jesus or pray through at an altar. But on the basis of their faith, they were told to repent and to be baptized and to have their sins washed away and to rise and walk in a newness of life, having received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 16, the same thing. "What must I do to be saved?" The question was asked, and the answer was given, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It was midnight. 2 verses down, they had a baptismal service. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we have something that, to my knowledge, we do not have in any other chapter in the book of Acts. Of course, the Gospels give the biographical outlines of the life of Christ. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John introduce us to the life of Christ. Then the epistles were not written to convert people, but to people that were already converted. The epistles were written to the saints. Many times people will go to Ephesians and quote Ephesians and Romans and simply deal with these epistles when it comes to giving the plan of salvation. But the epistles were not written to save. They were written to keep people saved, to remind them of their salvation, to remind them of the grace of God that saved them. And it is the grace of God that saves us. The plan of salvation is the grace of God. Faith and repentance and confession and baptism into Christ is for the remission of sins. My friends, that's the grace of God. And so here in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, the book that describes and gives examples of conversion. Did you realize that the book of Acts is the only book in the New Testament after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that gives clear-cut examples of people being saved and coming to Jesus Christ? I encourage you not to take my word for it. I encourage you to get into the Word of God and ask the question, what does the Bible say about salvation? Not what does my church say about salvation? I'm not inviting you to my church or somebody else's church or the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church. We have love for all. But what we want to do is to go back before all of that and take the Bible only and be Christians only. And so the book of Acts, over and over and over, there's no excuse, brothers and sisters. Over and over, it gives exactly what God wants individuals to do in order to be saved. There was a terrible time in the background of Acts chapter 8. We have the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. He was a faithful preacher. He was a non-compromising preacher. He wasn't a limp-wristed, pablum preaching, please everybody, kind of a compromising preacher like we have around the churches and in institutions that call themselves churches today. Stephen was non-compromisingly tell the truth. It cost him his life, but he preached the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This man Saul was involved in the death of Stephen, and after that happened, the Bible says in the 5th chapter of Acts chapter 8, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. It simply states Philip. You remember Philip back in the 6th chapter of the book of Acts? He was one of the 7 servants chosen, sometimes called deacons. One of the 7 servants chosen to relieve the jobs of the apostles so the apostles could give themselves continually to the ministry of the word and to prayer. And so they appointed men, including Stephen and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and various others. And they did more than to take care of the menial jobs that needed to be taken care of there. These servants, some people call deacons, were also preachers and some of the most powerful preachers described in the Bible. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I like it when it simply describes it like that. He went down and preached Christ. Preachers, that's what we must preach. Preach Christ. We're not preaching Protestantism or Romanism or denominationalism. We're just preaching Christ. We're not preaching what the conference tells us to preach or what the bishop tells us to preach or what the pope tells us to preach or what the church tells us to preach. We must preach what Christ tells us to preach. And I love this passage in Acts 8:4. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. We want to deal with this in our next broadcast, his preaching and what happened as a result of his preaching. And in Acts chapter 8, there's 3 accounts, individual accounts of people being saved, obeying the gospel. And we want to explain these exactly as it's recorded on the pages of the Word of God. If you're not a Christian, be born again of water and the Spirit. Repent and be baptized. Do what God would tell you to do. If you've backslidden, get back to God. Get back to His table. Turn to God, because it's only through Christ that there's hope in this world or in the next. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for the gospel of Jesus. Thank you that we're broadcasting across Uganda and Kenya, as well as Western Europe. Thank you for the broadcast here in the States. And I pray that people will with meekness receive the engrafted word which is able to save their souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.